Ooh. I bet you were expecting a tick, 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 tack, line, 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 line. But that's the twist of this one. Not gonna do it.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You're not gonna do it?
No.
Okay, I'll do it for you.
Thank you.
Terror is reborn.
Barely.
That's not till the 9th one.
But reborn as in, like, babies.
Yeah. No, the 9th one when, like, he, like, remember he can go into his own family members. And, like, you remember Jason Goes to Hell?
These movies really fell apart once they couldn't call them Friday the 13th anymore.
If Jason still haunts you, you're not alone.
Please join my support group.
Ghost of Jason.
That ghost can't do shit to me.
Ooh. I'm really kind of useless if I'm not in, like, physical form.
If it's the ghost of Jason, but it's, like, the NES Jason, I think I'll be fine.
You and your friends are dead.
Thank you. Try again.
What if in trying to, like, rebirth Jason or recreate him in this one, they, like, made him talk because now Freddy was, like, he just came out the year before.
Oh, Jesus. Wait, did Freddy come out the year before this one?
This is 85, so Freddy would be 1984.
Holy shit, they were really cranking these shits out.
Yeah.
Fuck. He's like, it's me, bitch.
Welcome to camp, bitch.
Mommy.
I don't like water, bitch. Yeah, like, what would his kill, like, throughout this movie be? What was his voice? It can't be, like, it couldn't be Freddy.
No, it would be like, it would sound like Sloth.
Whoa, no. Okay. A new beginning to the first step in terror.
But, like, didn't Halloween come out first?
That wasn't even the first step in terror.
Well, didn't Psycho come out years earlier?
I mean, you know, like, you know, the Universal Monsters.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, Street Murder.
Poppycock!
Poppycock!
I'm the Ripper!
No, you did it this
I did. The mindless, murderous fury that was buried with Jason has been reborn, and suddenly, terror has become child's play.
Too long. Wrap it up.
Too long didn't read.
And you really just ended it with that child's play line? Bullshit.
Yeah, which hadn't even come out yet. So,
wow,
like, just
Chumky, come on.
Weird coincidence. With the budget of $2.2 million estimated, an opening weekend USA gross of $8 million, and a cumulative worldwide gross of $21.9 million, with machetes to the gut, ice picks through the throat, axe dismemberments, road flare sucking, throat slashing, 3 counts of nudity, cocaine usage, axes to the skull, axes to the gut, branches to the gut, pruning shear eye gouging, twisty belt skull crushing, spike impalements, decapitations, meat cleaver skull cracks, machete mattress pairings, tent spike hangings, conveniently placed spike strips, and 18 real deaths, 3 dream deaths, with a 21 death total, a 4.8 on IMDb, a 16 Metacritic score, and a 16 on IMDb as well. It's 1985's Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning. Let's drop some bombs.
Cloudy in the mountains, sunny in the valleys, and snow flurries up your nose.
Oh, shit. Who the fuck are you? What the fuck do you want?
Hey, you okay?
It's the damn enchilada.
You don't set a place for a dead person.
I said I was sorry.
Welcome to Bombs Away, the B-Movie Comedy Podcast. My name is Jonathan Young. Joining me inside the studio, as always, is...
the guy who watched the wrong B-movie, Tyler Rowe.
Okay.
What's the deal with bees?
This is a part five.
Part five.
Right.
But it don't search for it as part five because you won't find it.
If you IMDb Friday the 13th, right, and then you start like seeing it autocomplete, you will have to type out part V before it's like, oh, they did want that one.
No, dude, I had the toughest time finding anywhere to watch this because I kept typing in part five and it was like, what the fuck are you talking about? It kept being like, you mean four? You mean six? It kept like going above the V because it's... officially titled like A New Beginning without the five.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh. I did not know that part.
Like me without my glasses on?
No, I hate you with your glasses. was that what you were doing? Because I was feeling
you looked at
disturbed.
Me so weird.
Yeah.
You looked at me like the people look at the kids in this camp in this movie.
Guys, yeah, no. When Tyler takes his glasses off, it's weird. We'll put it on the Instagram, but It's
you're gonna
hella
get a mean
weird.
Comment from my mom being like, "Don't be mean to my son."
I'm not being mean. It's just weird because it's like the thing that should not be seen. You know, like you only know somebody. It's like every time I shave, you don't like it either.
That's because you just look gross.
Yeah, thanks. There you go. We're even.
Oh.
My mom's not here to defend me. I don't listen. So, Friday the 13th, part 5. Wow. Yeah.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. But like when I started off, part 5s, can you think of a whole bunch of good part 5s and things other than, you know... Empire Strikes Back, like you said. Order of Phoenix is pretty damn good.
Oh, Harry Potter.
Yeah. That's a part five.
Yeah. Let's see.
Trancers 5.
Definitely Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Get the hell out of here. Oh yeah, definitely Transformers The Last Knight.
Oh fuck.
Yeah.
Is that 5?
That is 5.
Which one's the one with the dinosaurs?
That is 4, The Age of Extinction.
Which is one is the one where TJ Miller gets destroyed and we're supposed to laugh that he's dead.
Also part 4.
Oh damn.
Yep. Anyway.
Is that also the one where they're like, I can cornhole your daughter because it's legal by law?
Yes, it is. That is the one. Yep, the weird Romeo and Juliet thing. Man, we got to get into the Transformers eventually. Anyway, we're here for another way better franchise. I do, like I've said many times before, and guys, by the way, if you are listening to this, but you're like, I haven't heard the ones in the past, like, we're going to reference things from the previous episodes of the Friday series, so you should go ahead and check those out. Definitely, that's Tyler's first episode was Friday 2.
Friday 2.
Right?
Electric Googaboo Goo.
That was its first title.
Yeah.
Jason was doing a lot more break dancing with a mop.
That won't happen until part 9.
Yeah. That's true. No, that's
9?
Part
8. 8, that's 8. Yeah,
where
yeah,
he takes
yeah.
Manhattan.
Jason takes Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to see him like spin around on cardboard. But no, we're not even talking about Jason today, guys, because we're talking about an imposter. Spoiler alert.
That's a big spoiler.
Come on. There's a 35-year-old movie. If you don't know, now you know.
I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
This is like my least favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, this one was on all the time on like cable. This was on all the time at USA Up All Night and things like that.
Yeah, I've seen it a lot too. You and I kind of talked off air about how I personally think it was on TV a lot because it is probably the least, or the most inoffensive.
Right.
Because the kills are very subdued. There is a whole mess of nudity, but it's easy to cut that out.
Right. This movie, it, like, to point to that point, is like, I know that my stats in the beginning of the episode were, like, you know, kind of lengthy, but honestly, this movie, every other kill at least is machete or something to the gut. Machete, axe to the gut, there's a tree branch to the gut.
Yeah, it's almost as if it's not Jason and this person lacks creativity.
Yeah, it's almost as if, like, Roy. It is Roy.
No, spoiler alert.
It's almost as if Roy had never actually gone to and seen a dead body prior to his own son.
It speaks wisdoms when, like, the coolest kill in the movie is just done with a belt.
That, yeah. No. Nope. I think pruning shears is cooler.
Oh, you just like it because you got big ol' knockers.
Shut up. That is not it. That is not it.
It's definitely part of it, but
nope,
it's not.
That is not it. So I actually... Yo,
the burning did it
you
better.
You want to hear like a perverted old man. Listen to the commentary track of Friday 5.
Oh, I just, Jesus Christ.
I just got through it. Yo, it's hella funny, like, because they're all making fun of themselves. So it's... It is the director. It is the person who played Tommy Jarvis. So John Shepard, right? And then also the person who played Reggie, which the name is escaping me. I'm sorry. But yeah, they're just and then some guy on a phone that was like a super fan or something. I was like, I didn't need that.
Into the show.
Yes, that was on the Blu-ray commentary, and I was like, I don't need that guy. That'd be like if we called in.
Hey, yeah,
yeah. He was
thanks
like,
thanks for having me.
He did, and I'm sorry, guy. I'm gonna call you out because you didn't. He introduces himself as whoever, and he goes as whoever. He goes, I'm here to defend why Friday 5 is the best Friday in the series. Guess what, buddy? I listened to the whole thing. You didn't.
Also, the guy's name is Shavar Ross.
Thank you.
Who plays Reggie.
Thank you, sir. So, yeah, they're doing the whole thing. And, like, one of the things in the commentary that stuck out to me, like I said, is, yeah, you dirty old man, right? But also is that he was given the assignment. Two very direct assignments is what he was given when he was hired. Was one... He has to make sure that he gives us a jump or a scare every 7 to 8 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
Right? And that his only other task was to make sure that Tommy turned into Jason by the end of the movie. That Tommy was to be the new Jason.
Wow, and they really just kind of backed out on that after this.
Yep, because people were like, that sucks.
Yeah, because part six... Like I've been saying it for a while, just kind of joking about it.
Mm-hmm.
That we're finally on bad Friday the 13th, with the exception of number six.
Yeah, number six is great.
Number six is so badass.
You know what? I love 6, 7, and 8 too, though. Like they're all fun.
Six,
it starts getting fun.
6, 7, 8
in a different way. I mean, 4 10. Is way fun. We've already praised 4.
6, 7, 8, 10.
Yeah, 10 is fun too.
Jason Goes to Hell sucks.
Yeah, it does. It really does because Jason's hardly in it.
Well, because it's again, it's like an imposter type thing.
Right. So
let's
dive
get
into
it.
Yeah, yeah. Corey Feldman is back for a split second here.
He's chasing his paper boat. And it falls into a drain, and Pennywise the Clown comes out.
Hello, Corey.
Why is he
I don't know.
Cockney?
I'm sorry.
Poopy cock.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Down here, your career will float, too.
Oh, damn. Yeah, it's...
It won't.
He's wearing...
Damn, that son of a bitch lied to us.
Yeah.
Because he just released... The documentary, and not only did you hear about this?
The whole the website got taken down.
He swore that the website got hacked, They're like, the people wanted to know the truth. And then literally the people who were in the audience, including like Jamie Kennedy and a couple other people, celebrities, right? But the people who actually saw it, because the rest of us online did not, anybody who paid got stiffed, right? They were like, yeah, it's the same story he's been telling the whole time. It's Charlie Sheen. and Charlie Sheen already like denied this like about Corey Haim a long time ago.
Damn.
Yeah, that nothing happened on Lucas.
First, you're a hack with your documentary,
right?
And second, you stole our fucking VHS.
You son of a bitch.
You bitch.
You son of a bitch.
If anyone knows Corey Feldman, give him a call and tell him give us back our VHS tape of Friday 4.
I don't even want it.
It's been in his house. Yeah, right. It's tainted by Rich
with Corey's angels.
Oh,
the weird harem that he has.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. There's those girls that hang around with him of the band. He's gonna hear this and he's gonna come and kill us. I don't know.
Damn, that's sick. Good thing he doesn't know my address.
Come find us, Garage 5,
Fullerton, California.
Anyway,
so yes. If you were wondering if Corey Feldman will be in this movie anymore,
nope. He won't. Like, so this was filmed in Corey Feldman's backyard.
Scenes of Corey Feldman,
right? Now, what he's looking at is not.
He's really space jamming it.
Yeah. this was filmed in his backyard. They could only use him for this, like, because he was on the set for Goonies. Because
it's past his bedtime.
Hey, Corey, you trying to go to bed?
You gotta go to bed now, Corey. Shut up, Dad. I like to imagine he's like the kid from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the bike kid.
Oh, yeah. I am ready.
That's what he's like.
I paused Legend of Zelda for this. I was born ready.
So they somehow accidentally reenact prior
Jason
to it.
Voorhees. I have to donate my machete to the orphanage.
They somehow make the proto version of the introduction of the next film. In this scene,
yeah,
where they dig up Jason and he's alive.
Okay, so like, that's another thing the director had to mention. He was like, you know, people complain to me that like Jason's not in this movie. He's like, he's right fucking there. He says
it like he's in it quite a few times.
Yeah, he's like the Jason that like Tommy sees throughout the whole movie is the Jason that is haunting us. Right? It just so happens that it's coinciding with this shitty story.
Sounds like a crock of shit.
So, yeah, like, you're seeing these two, boys hoot and holler. Why would you mark Jason's grave?
Well, the same reason why Pamela Voorhees has a fucking grave, too, in part four.
In four?
Isn't it four?
Oh, yeah, they pass by it.
Yeah, when that banana grew.
No, that's the banana girl is part four. Yeah, that's part four.
It's right at the dead fuck part.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, they buried her too and gave her a tombstone.
Nothing like honor and your murders.
Yeah, it's like, how does that not have like a big old dookie stain on it? Like, well, someone just dropped a shit on it.
I would believe, if this was the South, I'd believe it. You gotta honor the villains.
That's right. That big old General R. Lee fucking statue. There's a big,
don't take down our Jason Voorhees statue.
It's pride, it's pride in history, not racism.
This is to honor all the people at Camp Crystal Lake.
They didn't die in vain.
Damn.
Oh, God.
Damn.
So Jason proceeds to kill these two people in such a boring way that you're like, I hope that doesn't happen anymore.
The first kill of the movie, machete to the gut.
Second kill, he actually just has a gun now.
Yeah,
shoots him in the head.
Also, they're like, you know what? We need to bury Jason with a machete and maybe an ice pick. It's what Jason would have wanted.
I told you, he's an Egyptian pharaoh. He's got to be buried with all his effects. There's a mummified cat in there too.
Has anybody seen my heart? Is it in that cat statue over there?
Ah, moon law. Ah, moon day.
Shit. Are you saying that Brendan Fraser has to come in and blow Jason's brains out?
That would make this so much better if Brendan Fraser showed up.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
A new beginning.
For him, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jason pops out of the grave, you know, comes over to Corey Feldman, swipes down, and then, oh, wait,
he
no.
kills him so hard that he ages 25 years.
Yeah, it's weird because he's supposed to be at least under 18.
He's supposed to only be about probably about 5 to 6 years old, or 5 years older than he was in the first movie.
Yeah, he's going to a youth center, so they're all underage, which makes all the nudity uncomfortable.
Yes, but
sorry, folks. Sorry to break it to you.
This actor playing what's supposed to be like a 17-year-old definitely looks like he had to call like cut and shot so he could go pick his kids up from school.
Cut, my 5 o'clock shadow's coming in.
I gotta shave again. Everyone in this movie looks old as fuck.
That is true. That is very true.
I'm actually curious to see. I'm gonna look it up. I wanna see how old they actually were when this was filmed.
Okay. Also, I do have a question. Have you ever seen lightning like you see in a horror movie? Just constantly, just like I know it's a dream,
gonna shit
but
on your
later,
point, but what? When I lived in Florida,
yeah, like just constantly like that, just illuminating,
mm-hmm. always lighting.
Wow.
It up.
Okay.
Oh my God!
What?
I was literally dead on the money. John Shepard, who played Tommy, was 25 when he made this movie.
Okay.
Damn, son.
So yeah, he's being driven in a van labeled the Unger Institute of Mental Health, and that's who's dropping him off at Pinehurst, which is a youth development center, which is where a bunch of either abused kids or kids left in the, you know, without foster care, or kids with developmental issues are all being housed in a farmhouse somewhere on Crystal Lake, I guess. It's never actually...
Yeah, it's never even said that this is Crystal Lake.
The only connection that we know that it is the fact that the sheriff is like, it's Jason Voorhees. I know it is.
Yeah, they're like, he's here.
Right.
Even though this is Camp Sapphire Lake. Right.
Well, what is it? What does it become in part 6? They do rename it.
Oh, I do remember. Not remember. I forgot about that.
Yeah. They're like, that's not the fucking name anymore. We don't say it.
We don't say it anymore. It's Camp Arawak.
Right? Because, like, when you have... When a city basically has a mass murdering killing spree in one weekend, and then years later a copycat... Yeah, you gotta rename the city.
Or you build a big monument.
to the Voorhees legend.
Put a statue of him.
Damn.
And he's on a horse.
Is he headless?
Just a good old boys.
No, not that kind. So yeah, the title sequence goes off, and then we basically get this another mask. Okay, so this movie, within its marketing, within its poster, its tape, its masks in the movie, we have one for Jason in the beginning, one for the VHS or the poster, right? So that's two. Now we have one that blasts through this title sequence that's
Dude,
different.
This title sequence fucks. Every single time they do one of the, because like it's basically, you know, it's like, yeah, this is what the title sequence is at this point. Things blowing up in things. But
in
this one straight up explodes.
Well, hadn't it been exploding since 4? Didn't 4 explode too? Because 3 was the first one to be in your face because of 3D.
Yeah.
Right? So like now it's just like, yeah, poof.
Michael Bay directed the intro. Yeah.
I don't get, you know, one time I asked Michael, I said, why is the mask exploding? And he was like, shut the fuck up, Ben.
Go make your basketball movie, Ben.
So yeah, they pull up at the Pinehurst Youth Development Center, and then we're introduced to Pam Roberts, who's played by Melanie Kinneman, and she is our kind of final girl for this, right?
Yeah, and do you know what, honestly, though, is
sorry, Corona.
On first watch of this, I didn't even guess that she was going to be the final girl, because there's a fuck ton of girls in this movie.
There is. There's a lot. And we're going to get, like, and we're going to be introduced to all of them.
Almost interesting if the movie gave a fuck about anyone other than three characters.
It does not focus on anybody long enough for us to care more than being like, you are fodder.
Do you know how much this movie cares about anything other than kills and tits?
What?
Our main character says 24 words.
Oh.
Or 24 lines.
Well, no, he's supposed to say that less.
I know, but like, damn, they really were just like, nah, don't.
Nah. Because the real hero of this movie, Reggie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Reggie, he's awesome. And we'll get to Reggie. So like, yeah, we're also introduced to a bunch of people who you don't think are going to come back, but they all are looped in. Only two kills are unrelated. It's like Jason's practice kills for the movie. The two boys on their way to a T-Birds meeting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was his clarity nut.
Yeah.
He killed them and was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. I'm really glad I got this out of my system, but I'm going to have to keep going.
It feels so good.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're introduced to the director, Michael.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, hey, you know what, Tommy? You can sit there all you want, and like, you don't have to talk if you don't want to, but I'm going to make you talk, right? Because he always makes him repeat. He's like, you got that, Tommy? Right? And Tommy, like, who's looking down all the time and playing with his zipper or wherever, and Tommy will be like, yeah, okay. Like, he's the only one that can get Tommy to really, like, speak or come out of his, like, shell.
Yeah,
a little
that's
bit.
Why it's kind of interesting, because, you know, we already kind of fucking blew the load on, like, who the killer is,
right,
on accident.
But I do want to, yeah, hold that theory. I know, because we've talked about it off mic. I want to do that at the end about Michael.
Okay.
You know what
so
I mean?
So you feel a
I feel
similar
something
way.
Too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
very
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we probably already kind of blew that too.
Well, no, but because we can still talk about motive and stuff like that, you know. So we'll hold on that. But yeah, we're introduced to Michael, and he was like, you know what? Hey, Pinehurst is different than like the hospitals, man. Like, you've been in a hospital for like a bunch of years. Here is like, it's the honor system. You do what you need to do. Like,
here we just let psychopaths have axes.
Yeah.
Here we just let you run carte blanche.
So yeah, like, Tommy goes up to his room, he hides a pocket knife. Of course we know that's gonna come back.
Did he body pack it, or did they just not pat him down?
Yeah, hey man, it's an honor system.
He put it in his prison pocket.
Hey, if you want to bring in a gun, then you it's an honor system, you know. You make sure that you do, just like real guns.
The scariest thing about this,
when did we get so political?
Yeah, I know. God, I think it's just the atmosphere of right now. The scariest thing about this camp, though, is that there's giant spiders in your closet.
How long was Reggie just waiting in that closet?
Have you ever gone to scare someone and given up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the time.
One of my favorite things to do is when Carly gets ready for bed, I'll go lay on the floor on her side of the bed.
Okay.
And like, crawl under the covers and scare her. And she takes so long to get ready that I give up 95% of the time.
So why don't you just like, know that she takes forever and kind of like be like, all right, time it out.
I'm stupid.
Did you literally not think of that?
No, I do. It's just sometimes I'll lay there and it's like, fuck it. I just go to bed.
Okay. So, yeah, Shavar Ross is playing Reggie. And, yeah, he just pops out. And is he in a bright red suit the whole time, or is
he
that the next day?
He does not change his outfit.
Or is that just me, like, just remembering the bright red from the end?
I don't believe he changes his outfit. And I'm going to say, it plays into another theory I have about Reggie.
Okay.
My theory about Reggie is, because so he jumps out and he scares Tommy, And then he reiterates to Tommy, basically, like, I'm not crazy. My grandpa just works here, right?
Right.
Here's my theory.
Okay.
He is crazy. And his grandpa works there to help keep him there. Because he can't afford to go there.
Institutionalization.
And he never changes his outfit, and he's fucking nuts, and he's, like, not allowed to leave.
But what about his brother?
Doug, his brother lives in a van.
Demon.
You mean Spider from...
he literally just stepped off the set of Return
of the Living Dead and was like, I'll be in your movie.
Yeah.
He's also in Scooby-Doo.
He's in a lot of stuff.
He's the guy who's about to sacrifice a chicken but, like, can't do it on Spooky Island.
Ooh, baby, ooh.
We'll get to that character because he's definitely the shining moment in this movie. Yeah.
So, instead of being a normal human being and speaking up, like, Tommy decides he's going to, like, turn around and scare Reggie with all his mask.
With a shittier version of the mask from the last movie.
Right? It was like, you didn't just have it lying around?
Yeah, and it's also like, again, I guess this institution just lets you bring whatever the fuck you want in there.
Yeah, well, I mean...
I guess they needed an explanation for the ending.
Yes. Yeah, I guess so.
That's totally what it is.
Wait, are you saying that Roy is using his masks?
Yes.
All right.
To cover his face, the sides of his head, to make him look like Jason? Yeah.
Okay. And it's that one that he's wearing right there?
It's just one of them that he has.
Okay.
And he cut out, like, the face.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the only explanation I can come up with.
I know.
Either that or he's... in a movie where the makeup's done by Tom Savini.
Do you guys have bald caps?
Do you have ball caps?
Yeah, so Reggie hears the cops outside. Is like, oh, shit, the cops. I got to split.
You know what they do to people like me. Peace out.
And then what we're introduced to as the cops roll up, and then right behind them is a motorbike, and we have Ethel.
Jesus Christ, Roseanne Barr and Randy Quaid.
No.
Tell me I'm wrong, though.
Yeah, I guess so.
I did that movie when I was taking a lot of Ambien.
Ethel's there, and she's mad. These are our local hillbillies. They're really annoying.
They're not like... They're literally just there so you will be stoked that they die.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
But you know what else we're introduced to in this scene? My favorite thing about the writing of this movie. They're like, all right, mental institution, right? Crazy people. They're like, okay, I'm on it. I'm cool. All right, so Tommy Jarvis goes there. Okay, he was a murderer. Yeah, cool. And the only other problem everyone else has is they like to fuck.
Everybody's super horny.
That's it.
Because, like, what happens is that I'm gonna forget her name, but we'll call her Pamela Voorhees because that's the actress's name.
No, Pamela Voorhees is the mom.
Oh,
her name is
Deborah.
Deborah Voorhees.
Yeah, that's right. The actress's name is Voorhees. And then the character that she was sleeping with on the front lawn of Ethel's.
Yeah.
House. Front lawn of Ethel's house. These people have a problem.
Horny.
So Deborah and Eddie is his name, right?
Eddie's, Uncle man. Eddie.
You can't trust an Eddie. they're goofballs, man. Yeah. 'Cause, like, they'll fuck anywhere.
But for real, dude, he is literally just proto Randy Quaid in Independence Day.
Oh, wait. I was talking... What are you talking about? I was talking about... Not Eddie... No. Oh. Not Eddie, like, Christmas Vacation Eddie. The character of Eddie is the name of the other guy.
Oh,
like,
who fucks.
The kid.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah. Just the goofball, man. Yeah. He, because he's kind of our... Like, he's a sex addict, but also a jokester.
And a stoner.
They do smoke, too. That's right.
Smoke that weed.
Yeah. So
get that kush.
Hit the kush. Jason's like, stay away from my kush.
No, that's the remake.
You know what? I'll say, what if it's part of this storyline too? He's still like, get the fuck out of Jason.
God, that remake,
I love
is
it.
So fucking good.
Yeah, it's really good.
When he hits that guy with the axe.
Yeah. Yeah. From across the way.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, Ethel's like, you little bastards come into my yard, the next one of you, and I'm going to blow your fucking brains out.
And the cops are like, it's cool, she's white, let her get it out. Yeah.
It's better if she just gets it out. Yeah.
They turn to Reggie, they're like, you ever say anything like that, you know what's coming.
Oh, damn. So we're introduced to a couple of the other students at this point as well. We're introduced to Juliet Cummins, who is the redhead, and she's from Slumber Party Massacre 2, right? Mm,
and she does the same thing in that movie as she does in this movie.
Breasticles.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're tiny. Yeah. And then we have Violet, who is the emo chick.
Actually the first fully synthetic actress. She's actually a robot, as we see later in the movie.
And they're out folding laundry now. The police have left, and Joey comes.
This is quite possibly the most tragic character in Friday the 13th history.
I'll agree with that.
This character, listen, everyone knows a person like this. That person that you're like, listen, man, I don't know if you are, but if you are, it's okay. I'm here to work through it with you. And if you're a little slow, I'm going to be patient. But this movie's like, fuck you if you're slow, you piece of shit.
Oh, no.
This movie hates this character.
Yeah, every single one. The girls are just like, get the fuck out of here, chocolate fucking finger bitch.
He does get these dookie fingers all over their stuff.
Right? But, like, I guess they're kids, too. So, like, because you don't see how an adult treats him. So, I mean, kids are hella mean, man.
No, there's a line after what happens to them that they're like, good riddance.
Yeah.
So this is the infamous.
I believe it though. That's how they treat him.
Yeah, this is the infamous scene that everyone's seen from this movie. He goes up to the guy chopping wood. He's like, and he's fucking, the dude's
Vic,
so
man.
Mad.
Vic's been chopping wood all fucking day. Nobody's been helping him. I get it, man. All these little bitches. Like, also, it's summertime. What's he chopping wood for?
It's like in, is it Infinity War when they're chopping wood and then fucking Steve Rogers just walks over there and starts ripping them with his bare hands?
I wish I could punch you in your perfect jaw, Joey.
So, he, yeah, he goes over there. He offers his chocolate bar to Vic. And Vic's like, get out of here.
He's like, I mean, but like, yeah, way more violent.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
get out of here, I'll fucking kill you, basically.
Yeah, and so he says, well, I'll leave it here for you if you want it later. And yeah. He puts it down on the wood. The guy chops it in half, and he says, you know what? You're not very nice. Mm-hmm. And he turns around, and in a actually very, you know, bravo to Friday the 13th, they did something that's very rational in this scene, I could say. He swings and he kills him. Hits him in the back with the axe numerous times, over and over again, killing him.
And you know the sheriff's got to be like, I just left.
He's like, I was in the driveway, dog. I literally actually just witnessed this.
Right? So, yeah, the sheriff shows up. And they got the body covered, and then it's just so damn obvious, man. Like, they're like, hey, Roy, Earth to Roy, which is the ambulance driver.
Roy, stop kissing that corpse.
Right? Like, they lift up the body, and, like, it's really cool effects.
He's hacked to shit,
to
man.
To pieces. And
pieces. It's exactly what you think it is.
Yeah. And then Roy is just traumatized immediately, and then the camera lingers way too long before this scene is like, okay, we're done. And it fades out, and then I just don't remember the movie being this obvious, but I guess it was, like, right there, right in front of us, you
know? Because you, like, were a child.
Yeah, probably. Now we're there. Here are our two greasers on their way to a T-Bird meeting.
Yeah.
How
progressive of this film to include two gay characters.
You happen to not be the only one who said that. So the director...
Did he say they're gay?
Said that he goes, yeah, there used to be talk about these two being possibly progressively homosexual. So, yeah.
They're definitely going to a different type of sock hop.
Damn. It's a puppet show.
Oh, my God.
Tell me more. Tell me more. Does he have a big cock? Oh, man. That song's so weird.
I hate Grease so much.
But it's hella weird where he's just like, did she put up a fight? You're like, that's rape, dog.
I hope not.
Like, I wish the movie Grease would have just stopped and be like, we're done. Yo,
a car crashes into the auto shop.
Kanicki's a fucking rapist.
And they like crash into everyone. And they're like, some guy gets out. He's like, I'm from the future. This song is not going to age well.
We would see in like a Grease Lightning DeLorean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my new pitch for a show. I go back in time and I stop people from making things that won't age well.
In other movies?
Just
like,
in
or like
everything.
Okay.
I go back in time, I crash on stage like at a Bill Cosby stand up, and I'm like, dog, shit gets bad for you.
Wait, you're going back and warning the bad people?
No, and then I whoop on him on stage.
But then shit would just go bad for you. Because nobody knows why you're doing this.
I go back to the future. It's a utopia.
So,
war was outlawed 40 years ago after Bill Cosby was beat on stage.
So Pete and Vinny are two gay greasers here. And I don't know which one. Oh, yeah, I do know which one. So... yeah, Vinny is like, I'm going to go take a piss, and they give you a little, like, rabbit jump scare, because it's been 7 minutes.
Why is there a rabbit in the forest at night?
I don't know. That doesn't seem odd to me.
It's just odd that that's the scare we get.
Yeah, well, you can't, because they do a cat later. You can't have two cats.
It should have been a bear. That would have been funny.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly. See, you're scared.
It's never been Roy. It's a bear this whole time.
Oh, my God. That would have been great.
Right? Like, Tommy sees Jason, but the rest of the world sees bear.
It's just a 7.5 minute long mauling scene, like in The Revenant.
Dun 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 dun.
He's like, Jason's out there. Oh, God, fuck, please, a bear.
The girl's doing that, like, that robot. And, like, Violet does the robot, and the bear is just like,
rips her to shreds.
Wait, this is just Grizzly. So, anyway, yeah, Vinny goes to take a pee. Meanwhile, while Pete is trying to fix the car, a road flare gets lit. And way cool effect.
It reminds me of a lost episode of ours.
Oh, yeah?
Like the, what movie was that with the skewer in the mouth?
Happy Birthday to Me. Yeah.
It reminds me of that.
Okay. Yeah, it seemed like kind of rubbery open mouth.
But it's still so cool because it lights up as it's shoved into his mouth.
Well, but I mean, because that's like the advanced model. Like, you don't get those kind of models like when you order the dolls at home. And
making a real doll show?
It looked like it with the open mouth. Yeah,
that's gross.
But yeah, Pete's like, hey, Vinny, stop playing around. I'm like, dude, if you can't see that, like, Vinny now has a hockey mask on.
Hey, Vinny, stop playing around.
Do you think he had a hockey mask already?
is that a road flare in your pocket? He's just happy to see me.
Or do you think he gets a hockey mask only by the time he gets back to the farmhouse at the
end? You know what? I would say this is unmasked Roy.
You think so?
Because if someone walked up to you, he would be way more worried than he is.
Right? Yeah, because that's they are giving us the they're trying to think that it's plausible that you would not be able to see the person's face.
It's a road flare.
Yeah. I can make out everything else in the frame. If the camera lens can, I probably could have too.
Hey, what you doing out here in the woods? The New Jersey Devils don't play to tomorrow.
thank
you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah,
he hey kills Jason, him. You can't walk out of a drive-in killing.
There it is.
Thank you.
You're on fire. It's me, Jason.
This one's for you, Mango.
Is it what, your lizard?
Yeah, the lizard.
Don't call out things that people can't see in the room. We get a new studio and you're just like, hey, beep beep boop boop, Mango's over there.
I wish the cat was up here on the couch with us.
Man,
though.
Don't get too comfy. ladies and gentlemen, we have gone off the rails too many times today.
It's late.
Yeah, he kills Vinny as well because Vinny just comes back to the car and he's like, I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm going to kill you. And it's like, nah, you're the one who's actually going to die. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, goodbye.
We're going to do the Halloween thing. Yep, there it is. Slit throat from the back seat. Moving on. So, also, though, did Jason just leave Vinny's head on that horn all night in the woods?
Yes.
God,
I wish those people would stop honking over there in the forest. I'm not even worried, though. It's probably just one of the fuck kids from that house.
Fuck the trailer park. Yeah, because it just goes, and then it's just the next day, right? So Tommy's seeing shit, like, big deal. He keeps seeing Jason, right? He's taking hella pills.
Yeah, but can you see why kids love Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
He could tell you exactly how many licks it takes to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop. Tell you that.
Shit.
Woo! This makes no sense.
Mine did.
Yeah, I know. I was like, other catchphrase.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, Tommy seeing shit. And then you get to the, you don't set a place for a dead person. You just don't.
Yeah, that's such a weird overreaction.
Yeah, so
it's like, hey, sorry, I fucking forgot. He died yesterday.
Stuttering guy. Stuttering everybody's Bill. Kind of upset that, like, Violet set two extra places, one for Joey and one for Vic. They're both not going to be joining us.
Okay. That's my whole feeling about this scene. It's like, why is everyone acting like that?
Well, that's also how... Well, I mean, because they're family, I guess. Whatever. I don't know.
Family.
It's been a long day. Joey just drives in a different path than him.
Yeah. With an axe still in his hand, in Vic's hands. He's all hacked up in the car.
Oh, shit. Then the movie gets taken over by The Rock, a.k.a. Jason.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Could you imagine Jason as, like,
The Rock as Jason?
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be amazing.
God.
Just take that, Kane Hodder.
He'd show up, I'd be like, yeah, I'm dead, dog. He's going to pop my head off with his bicep.
I'll just kill myself, thanks. So, yeah, at this point... Tommy comes in and Michael's like, hey, Tommy, could you like go and get Eddie? Eddie's not there at the table yet. And, so he's like not answering him. He's like, Tommy, will you go get Eddie? And Tommy's like, yeah, okay. Right. And then turns and there's Eddie in like in like full on Teen Wolf mask.
Oh, yeah.
And scares Tommy, right? But then like proceeds to be like, can't you take a joke, bro? But he's hitting him in this like Pai Mei like fashion of like really close to the chest, right?
Yeah.
Which hurts. He's like knuckling him. And then Tommy proceeds to flip him over his ass and beat the living fuck out of him. I didn't know that Tommy knew Taekwondo.
No, he lays this fool out in front of everyone.
Oh, man, there's many a night that Tommy was just like, friends for eternity, loyalty, honesty.
We'll stick together through thick and thin.
And then we'll go around, you, Jason, me, Freddy, and we'll break boards. So, yeah, he just destroys Eddie until they're just like, Tommy, let go. And then, like, Tommy runs away.
It's like, didn't you know this guy murdered someone? Maybe you shouldn't fuck with him.
I know. Like, nobody gave any of the other kids a rundown of
being
like,
hey, so why is this Tommy guy here? Oh, no big deal. He just murdered someone with a machete in the head when he was 12. He's been in a psychiatric hospital for the past 6 years. Oh, cool, cool, cool. So I can fuck with him?
Yeah.
Better, yeah, go for it.
Better than that other Tommy who came from Angel Grove. He kept talking about a dragon. What? Sorry.
Boo.
We go over to the hillbillies again, right? And we're introduced to a worthless additional side character with the homeless drifter who hasn't eaten in 3 days.
What the fuck is this character?
I don't know.
Where did he come from? Where did he go?
Okay, so all I know is that the director said that he was a friend of his and that I think his original intention was to get this guy who he had worked with on something else prior to play Jason, and it didn't work out. So he gave him, like, he wrote him a bit part.
Yeah, because this guy sucks.
This is worthless, right? Also, though, what's up with Jersey and all the homeless drifters?
This specific part of Jersey.
Just mass murderers and homeless drifters.
Crazy harbingers of doom.
It's just Jersey.
Yeah.
You're all doomed.
You're all doomed.
That should be, like, on the quarter. It's Jersey. You're all doomed.
When you drive into Jersey, it's like, welcome to New Jersey. You're all doomed.
Right? Because, like, they're just homeless drifters everywhere. They come through every single movie, it feels like.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know what's up with upstate New Jersey. So, yeah, we're introduced to him, the hillbillies. I have written here, I was like, hillbillies are dumb. And so, Billy, right, who is the guy who was in the passenger seat of the Unger mental institution. Now we're getting into the Billy scene with like the diner.
Oh, this scene exists for one reason and one reason only: to get
titties.
That tit count up.
Yep,
because this girl's literally like, he shows up and he's like, "Hey, let's go." And she's like, "I just got to get ready to leave." Goes into the bathroom and it's just like, "It's showtime," and busts her boobs out and is like,
all right.
And scene.
Yeah. So, like, Billy pulls up, and he must have just gotten out of that T-Bird meeting, because he's also in, like, a leather jacket in this, like I don't know, Dodge Challenger, I think,
like,
it is.
Hey, hurry up in there. The two guys I was supposed to fuck didn't show up.
Yeah, right? And so he's outside while Lana is showing off her breasts to the camera. And then, oh, man, it's one of those things where you're like, was this improv'd or not? And, like, the director says it wasn't, but, like,
when she pulls her boobs out?
Nope. So Billy is out there, and he grabs cocaine, right? And he goes, the forecast is cloudy with mountains, sunny in the valleys, and snow flurries up your nose.
So right? Stupid.
And you're like, who would say this?
By yourself.
Like, right?
In your car.
Like, I've never, like, grabbed some weed and been like, today are greener skies.
Like, you know, like, also, why is this guy doing cocaine by himself? That's the real sad part.
That is hella sad, right?
It's like, cocaine covers up the holes in my heart.
The stock markets are getting low. So we cut back to Lana, and she's about to go outside, but, like, people were throwing cats around the diner, apparently.
And that's not a euphemism. There literally is, like, a meow, and a cat, like, flies out for the top corner of the frame.
While she's
like, oh, diner cat, it's you.
Hey, diner cat.
He's like, meow.
It's me, diner cat.
Hey, it's me, diner cat. Where's the fish at?
What is that accent?
It's diner cat.
Where's the fish at?
Hey, give me a fucking tuna melt. It's me, Donna Cat.
I don't want to hear any more of that Jason Voorhees bullshit. Just give me the tuna.
Give me a tuna melt and a glass of warm milk. Meow. I should have wrote cats.
It's me, Dinah Cat.
Fuck. You got nice tits.
Oh, sorry, did I spook you?
So, obviously, it's the whole stupid, like, cat fake out scare that everyone. It's so tired, even at this point.
Yeah, always. It always will be. So, yeah. As that's happened, Billy gets an axe to the skull, and then Lana comes out, and she goes, and the car, the his driver's side door is hanging wide open, and she's just like, Billy, you're fucking around?
Where'd you go, Billy?
Right? And Billy's cocaine is spilt all over the driver's, like, floorboards, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, how do you not think something's wrong? Like, nobody just spills cocaine and is just like, oh, I gotta go.
She's like, oh, no. All off the ground.
She goes, well, more for me. I was like, what? No, girl. Well, you're dead. You're so dead right now. Yeah, I don't know how you don't know something's wrong. Like, cocaine's all over the place.
I mean, you did just flash your boobs in your work's bathroom.
That's fair.
To yourself.
Yeah. Well, no, Diner Cat was there.
Oh, fuck, Diner Cat. That's right. That's right.
Yo.
Hey, what? You gonna flash any more titties tonight?
Why is everyone dead? I can't make a tuna melt myself.
Hey, Lana, who's gonna make me a tuna melt now?
Obviously, Lana dies too.
Yeah, yeah. She gets axed to the gut.
Yeah,
right?
Lame.
Also, what's funny is that, like, she sees the body of Billy, right? Or, like, and then sees, like, Jason's shoes and a bloody axe, right?
Yeah.
Her sight line never changes from looking at his feet. She never looks up at his face, like, and gets out of the car.
She has mad peripheral vision.
Yeah. And somehow he has, there's twice in this movie that he has, like, transportation powers.
He's always had it, though.
Yeah, but, like, this one's way more. Like, this part where he was on one side of the car and then he's
on the,
like,
other side.
Right as she gets out, he's just like, axe to the gut.
Yeah.
There you go.
So dumb.
The other one is when he pops up at the end in the rain at like, behind the ambulance.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, now we get this weird scene that I don't know. The director really regrets casting the actor that played the mayor in this scene.
What?
Right? I don't know. He just says, like, "Here's my only regret." I was like, "Why would you say this?" Like, this guy has no filter. This old man director.
He doesn't care anymore.
Yeah. But he's just like, "Look at him hamming up the scene, just chewing up the scenery. I just regret it."
Oh God.
Right. And so, like, yeah, the mayor basically pulls a Jaws.
Yeah, he's like, "Don't tell anyone people are dying up at that loony bin,"
right?
As he keeps calling it.
And the sheriff's like, "It's Jason Voorhees." And he's like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
He's like, "You're out of your mind."
Yeah, right? Meanwhile, like, as the mayor's coming in, that other, like, deputy does not give a shit. and he's just sleeping behind him with his feet propped up even.
Hell yeah, brother.
Right? It's like, what are you going to do? It's a three-cop town, right? They don't increase the cops till six when the body count needs to get higher.
Yeah.
So now, at this point, we get to... I mean the kills just keep coming.
The kills in this movie are a lot like the song All Star by Smash Mouth.
Uh huh.
They just don't stop coming, and they don't stop coming, and they don't stop coming because it's literally just like kill after kill after kill after they get going.
Yeah. So like, oh, to be a teenager stricken with nymphomania.
Jesus Christ. Is this Voorhees?
Yeah, yeah. So Debbie and Eddie, her name's Tina, by the way.
Yes, Tina.
Tina and Eddie, they go to go and fuck in the woods, right?
Listen, I'm just going to say it. On a different scale, or on a different wavelength other than just like, dang, those are some... big old boobies, right?
Sure.
Also, like...
because that's what the director said.
Dang, those are some big old boobies, but also, like... realistic big boobies? You know what I mean? Like, they're not, like... like, that other girl who showed her boobs, they were pretty big, but they were, like, fake boobs. These are, like, real, real boobs.
Uh-huh.
It's like, good for you, man. I know you just cast her because she had big boobies, but good for you.
Okay. It's a weird... like pedestal to go on there. But...
now this. Thank you for joining me on Booby Corner.
Yeah. I give the boobies a Jaws 4.
I give the boobies 2 racks out of 2.
You stupid. So, at this point, they have the quickest sex scene, I think, in Friday history.
Which, according to the trivia, it was far longer in the original cut.
Oh, I believe it, because...
it was like 5 to 6 minutes long.
The fact of the matter is that the director does a wide shot of her nude, like, just out there. Like it's goddamn erotica.
And it's erotic,
right? Like it's a 90s Emmanuel tape. Like
you're dating yourself on that.
That was an entire series on Cinemax. It was
like it's like, a 90s David Duchovny soft
Red
porn.
Shoe Diaries.
Yeah, Red Shoe Diaries.
Yep.
It says that the sex scene was originally 3 minutes long, but.
What was it, The Room?
But it's been cut down to 10 seconds.
3 minutes.
It's just like, all right, just fuck for real.
Yeah, man, that is a Cinemax porn then.
Yeah.
Right? Put your hand right across the crotch so they can't see there's no penetration.
Yeah, God.
Or they can't see the penetration.
Yeah.
If it was actually an adult one that they cut up back in the day. So, they... have sex real quick. Eddie's like, I'm a go piss, you know, because like
that's good. You
guys
got to
piss. Yeah, you got to do it. She's like, I'm gonna lay here. While she lays there, Jason comes up, and like I said, I love this kill, like because the whole idea of not only sinking the shears into the eye sockets, but then like
opening,
slicing the gap, right? You know, you're just like, bah!
I still think the burning did it better.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Jason Alexander is in that movie.
Yeah, he is. And you think he's going to die, and he never does, right? He survives the burning.
Yeah, that movie kicks ass, too.
Yeah, I just recently watched that for the first time.
That's Savini as well.
Who do you think would win? Cropsy or Jason? It is Cropsy, right?
I believe it's Cropsy. Yeah. I would say probably Jason, just because he's so fucking strong.
Well,
because
he's a zombie.
That
we don't know what's
true.
Going on with Cropsy. He was just a burn victim.
He was just croppy.
Yeah. Yeah. That his origin story is hella dumb.
Then he got burned?
Yeah. He was masturbating.
Fuck.
In his cabin. So now... shit, we got to do the burning one day.
It's not that bad, though.
It's not that bad. You're right. So Eddie gets back and he's like, hey, and he turns her body over and immediately is just like, oh, no. And then conveniently lays against the tree that Jason has set up for him.
This is my favorite kill in this movie.
I know.
The belt is so cool. Gruesome.
But did you notice something?
What?
Due to just poor editing, that he turns the belt two different ways.
Oh.
The final, so like, there's a twist, and then they cut to Eddie, and he's just like, ah, right? Like, the belt is going through his, like, skull, and then they cut back, and he's twisting the opposite way now until it snaps.
Oh.
I mean, I guess maybe he could have released the tension and then went the opposite way.
Hey, bro, you need a breather?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you give me a breather? Yeah, yeah, yeah. My eyes hurt so bad.
Yep.
All right, cool. Okay, I'm cool. All right.
Looks like you're going to have to loosen it a couple notches, bitch.
Damn.
Because you're fat, I guess. I don't know. I'm not as good as Freddy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You should have just left it back there.
What do you mean? What?
You should have just stopped while you were ahead.
Okay. Sorry. Bitch.
I knew it was coming. All right. So, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. So, now, Reggie is like, hey, man, I want to see my brother. I want to see my brother Demon. Right? And I guess they're like, yeah, go send the crazy kid who beats people up with you. It'll be good for him.
And me, hot lady.
Yeah. So Pam takes Reggie and Tommy to see Demon. And apparently Demon lives in a trailer park next door.
Yeah, but in a van.
Right. Yeah, not even a trailer. River. But they both live there. And they're very clean for living in a van.
And they're cool as fuck.
Yeah, they are
the
hella
coolest
cool.
characters in this movie.
Yeah. And so,
and like we said, Demon is the spider from
Miguel A. Nunez Jr.
He's cool as fuck, man.
Yeah, man.
He's honestly, like I said, he's so funny in Scooby-Doo because he's the voodoo guy that's trying to sacrifice a chicken, but he bought like a chicken from the store. It's already dead.
Oh, man, that's like Weekend of Bernie's 2.
Yeah, dude, he's great.
So, As these characters, and he's like, he's cool. He's a cool older brother, except for the trailer park van thing down by the river.
He's got a cute girlfriend.
She is very cute. She looks like she's about to go and be in the Thriller video.
Yes.
And so does he, kind of too. So it works out, right? And so as they're talking and bonding, Tommy runs into Randy Quaid.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, Randy Quaid almost runs into him with his motorcycle, right? And I don't know, Tommy has a thing with lights, I guess? I didn't know that, like, Jason, like, traumatized him with lights. I forgot that scene.
He's a photosensitive epileptic.
Yeah, there was a whole scene that was cut out of Friday 4 where Corey Feldman was chased around with a neon sign.
I genuinely, for a moment, was almost like, no, it explains in the movie he's epileptic. But I was like, that's The Shining. I'm fucking stupid.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit. But yeah, so,
Dr. Camp.
Oh, Dr. Sleep.
Just kiss. Movie.
Tommy proceeds to do what anyone would do when presented with lights in his eyes, and he beats the living shit out of Randy Quaid.
Dude, he basically recreates Roadhouse. Because he's going to rip his throat out.
And he literally says, I used to fuck kids like you in high school. Oh, wait, why is it high school? Fuck.
I'm not taking that out.
I used to fuck guys like you in prison. And he rips his throat out. Yeah, and then this cool beatdown eventually leads to quite possibly one of the most fucking obnoxious, terrible scenes in this whole movie.
Yeah, man. So, like, because Tommy runs away, they're like, oh, like, we gotta go, right? Like, Reggie and Pam are like, sorry, Demon, we gotta go. So they do. Right, and then we're left. So we're not at the obnoxious scene yet. We're in the shitter scene.
The shitter scene is so fucking funny. So Demon's dropping a deuce.
Okay, yeah. They leave, and his girl is like, "You want to hit this?" And he's like, "Okay." And his first hit, he's like, goddamn enchiladas.
Yeah, I was like, all right.
Yeah, apparently, like, yeah, I mean, I get it, you know, like smoking sometimes can just make it make you go.
It's like the director was like, all right, well, we kind of fucked the script up, so we don't really know how you're going to go take a shit, but we need you to take a shit. And he's like, enchiladas?
I had them for lunch.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. I'm actually a method actor. I actually have to shit in the scene.
Damn. That's powerful. That's cool. Last guy hung dong, so I get it. And he was the guy playing Jason.
Could you imagine if Jason hung dong?
Yeah.
He's walking around with a big hole in his pants and his like huge dick hanging out. Or would he have like a small like micro penis?
No, I want him to have a long dong. Yeah, I mean, if your face is as messed up as his, you want to at least be like blessed with a long
John. I think he'd have a micro penis because that's why he's so mad.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm.
So, okay.
I'll never get sex.
Yeah, that's okay.
He is like the incel killer. Like, he's just like, girls don't like me because I don't have the right bone structure.
He didn't say that.
He did. He says it in
he never
Jason
talks
Manhattan. Men's yeah, rights.
I forgot about that scene.
Yeah. When he kicks the radio, he turns around and says, men's rights.
He's like, I hate Rush Limbaugh.
No, that would be, he
oh,
likes
Oh, you're right.
Him.
God damn it. Can we cut this? I hate how political we're getting.
That's your fault. What? I just said men's rights. You can cut this. So, you know the old adage, when the outhouse is a-rockin', don't come a-knockin', because
it's your girl fucking with you on the shitter.
Yeah.
And then they proceed to sing a song to each other.
Yeah.
On the, do you, Tyler, do you ever do this? Do you ever just sing to Carly between the door while you're on the shitter?
I do talk to her through the door.
Ooh, baby.
I also don't know why they made them sing such a white song.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't. There's been so many times where Carly's like in the bathroom doing something and I'm like, hey, you got to get out because I'm like going to poo my pants. And I make her get out and I turn the fan on and I turn music on because I don't want her to hear.
Okay.
I'm not going to be like, let's sit on the other side. Let's sing Grease together. You're the one that I want.
Ooh, baby.
Such a dumb song choice.
Well, what song is that?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying it's dumb.
They just made it up.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Well, I mean, they basically were, I guess we're like, we don't have the rights, so just
fuck.
Just
should have sang Nightmare on My Street.
That wasn't out yet.
Yeah, I know.
they should have done the Return of the Living Dead theme.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So yeah, he starts singing to her and she's singing back and then she stops singing. And he's like, "What the hell?" Right? And then he opens the outhouse door a little bit and there she is, throat slashed. Done.
He didn't even
like
wipe.
We didn't even see it. Huh?
He didn't wipe.
Dude, that's another thing. Okay, yeah.
He's dying with dookie butt.
He yeah, brown butt. All yeah, man. Like just mud butt.
Jason scares me. He's like,
"Oh goddamn Jason."
You know when you got to go, you got to go.
That is true. You do. So, yeah, he gets a spike through the knee and then he's freaking out and like he's doing a really good job. Like,
yeah,
like,
this guy's great.
Yeah, he's crying like that's how you would be, man. And then straight up he just gets impaled. Like what if he got impaled and then like his pants, because he didn't buckle, they just fell down.
And you saw his wiener?
And that's the Hang Dong we've been waiting for the movie.
It's a good thing you and I don't make movies.
I want to start a new segment. We're like, where would you hang dong in this movie? We both get one. It's like, it's kind of like the where would you put the fucks?
Oh, yeah.
Where would you put the, where would you hang the dong?
So this is your hill you're going to die on right here?
Yeah. Yep. I like this one. Yeah. He gets impaled, right? And he's just like, right? And because he didn't buckle his pants, they just slide down.
And then he's like, wieners.
Yep.
Do you know what I could see happening if in a real thing they wouldn't hang dong, but he would get stabbed and then it'd be a shot from behind and his butt would hang out?
I like that one too. I'm okay with that one.
Yeah.
It's way more shocking if it's dong now.
You're like, whoa.
Wow.
And then Jason chops it off.
So, yeah. Now, Pam goes back to the farmhouse to drop off Reggie, right? And I love this shot where she's like, all right, I'm going to go look for Tommy, and leaves. And the camera zooms in and it's just like, you're all fucking doomed.
Yeah.
Like, it just zooms on being like, yeah, you're done.
Hey, you're fodder now.
You are done. So now we cut over to the hillbillies. And this is
the annoying scene.
Obnoxious. So awful.
Randy Quaid's riding in circles on his motorcycle being like...
Guys, got to backtrack for a second. Forgot. During the sex scene in the forest, that hitchhiker guy who was homeless, the drifter, was stabbed by a twig.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He gets deadly prey.
You think that Jason's the one watching. Well, actually, you know, that's the funny part. It's just like, this guy's watching, and you think it's Jason's POV, but it's actually that guy. And then Jason's like, hey, stop watching, you fucking perv.
No cucks. And he stabs him.
Nice. So,
yes, then this is the annoying scene.
Yeah.
Where he's riding around on his motorcycle, and he's like,
he hurt me, Ma.
And she's just like, I'm just trying to make some fucking...
She's like, get out of here and eat your fucking stew!
Yeah,
right? And you're like, why are you making a stew?
Do you know what's the best part about this scene, though?
The comedic giant pot of stew?
Well, that, and they just fucking die.
Yeah, I'm really glad, too. Like, he gets his head decapitated as, like, Jason's, like, around a tree.
And he's riding his motorcycle, it's just like, shunk.
With a cleaver.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, well, what's going on? And it's a fake out, because you think he's going to come from behind, and he comes through the window. Very... Friday 3D, like.
Jason fucking hates windows.
No, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if Freddy hates furniture, then Jason hates windows.
Freddy does hate furniture. Holy shit.
So, yeah, she gets cleavered to the skull, and you're like, thank God, we're done. Never have to see him again.
It's like, why were they even in the movie?
It's just for extra kill counts, man, because we're up to 20. Remember, 21 in this.
That's so much.
So... Pam runs out of gas looking for Tommy, and I had to wonder, like, how much more common was running out of gas back in the 80s? You know, like, how much more were you like, fuck, there's no gas station, like, nothing's open? How many more times were people running out of gas than, like, now?
I've ran out of gas twice?
Yeah.
In my life? It sucks.
Yeah. Yep.
I'd have a cop push me with his car. Yeah, I don't know, Pete. I just think it's one of those horror tropes of running out of gas.
Mm-hmm. So now we cut back to the house, and Jake, the stuttering kid, is on the couch with Robin, the redhead, and they're watching something that they didn't have to pay the rights for. And Jake is trying his hardest to work up the courage to ask Robin out, but he goes a little too far, right? Instead of just being like, I like you, which he says and all, he then ends it with, I would like to make love with you. And you're like, no, buddy. Yeah.
Can I finger bang you on this couch?
Yeah, right? Reggie's asleep over there. Because he is. He's on the other couch. Right? But okay. All right. I really kind of felt sorry for the poor guy, because, yes, he did say, like, I would like to sleep with you, right? Like, he at least was kind. He's asked her. Like, they've known each other for a long time, and he's obviously socially awkward and has at least a stammer. So, like, for her to, like, okay, a little giggle maybe, being like, that's cute, right? This bitch laughs in his face until he runs out the room.
She's like, yeah, go stutter about that, bitch.
Oh, man.
He's like, fuck.
Diner cat got your tongue, bitch.
It's me, Diner cat.
It's crazy, though, because later he comes into the room and she's actually having sex with Diner cat.
Oh, that is, it's exactly how it always goes down, yeah, isn't it?
Diner cat always gets the girl.
Diner cat's like, hey.
I imagine Diner cat is like that Hanna-Barbera cat, but cooler.
It's Snagglepuss?
Is that who he is?
No, Snagglepuss is gay. Oh, that one. I know what you're talking about.
Is it Snagglepuss? I was like, oh.
Tomcat.
Yeah. Like, I'm Snagglepuss.
Yeah, I was like, what? It's me, Dyna Cat.
Dyna Cat.
Anyway, it's fucking stupid Diner Cat.
I want a furry artist who listens to us to draw a Diner Cat, please.
Like Snagglepuss now, or like the Fonz version? Furry art.
The Fonz version.
Hey, it's me, Diner Cat.
Diner Cat, give me a fucking tuna melt, god damn it.
Hey, next week I'm going to be over here, I'm going to be Closet Cat.
With Snagglepuss.
Yeah, with me. We're going to scare a lady together.
This shit is off the rails.
Robin laughs in his face. Jake is just, I don't know why he doesn't at least be like, you know what, because he goes, I take it back, and you're like, poor guy.
Yeah.
So at that point, Reggie's asleep on the couch. Robin watches the whole movie and does not feel sorry for Jake. Like, tries to wake up Reggie, realizes he's not going to wake up, goes upstairs, talks to herself in the mirror, being like, Robin, you're just dumb. And, like, rehearsing what she's going to tell Jake, I guess, in the morning. Because, like, it's not like she, like, is like, okay, I'm going to go talk to him and, like, crawl in bed with him.
Is this when she just takes her shirt off inexplicably?
Yep, and just crawls into bed. And doesn't even bring the covers up. She's like,
no, she's
yep,
sleeping tits
nipples
out.
That's
a weird way to sleep.
That doesn't happen, guys.
No. I remember Carly being like, what?
Right? And then turns, and look, Reggie's already waiting. I mean, not Reggie.
Oh, damn, big pimpin'.
Hey, did I scare you with the spiders?
The red jumpsuit stays on.
There's Jake. He's already waiting for her in bed, dead, right? With just like a very small slash. It's a very lazy effect compared to everybody else. And then, machete up through the bed.
Machetes in this movie?
Machete to the gut, basically. I mean, they're all machete to the mid-waist.
It's so dumb.
And then at this point, now we get, there's a man with no life in his eyes.
God damn it. So the emo girl is just doing this really weird robot.
Yep.
And I know we always say it, we always fucking say it, but I'm gonna do the clip.
Okay.
I'll find it, I'll put it on here. This dance is fucking horrible.
It's awful. They were like, do you have any talent? And she's like,
no.
Like, I don't know why we hire these people.
Have you ever seen when you tell a toddler that they're good at doing the robot, but it's just cute and funny? They're like, yeah. It's like, I'm worse.
All right, dog. She's not that bad. She could do it better than both of us.
Speak for yourself.
Can you do it? Guys, let the record show, it is awful.
Hello.
Yeah.
I am a robot.
I mean, yeah. So right. Violet gets machete to the gut. Boo. Yep. He like grabs her because she's not looking. She's not paying attention.
She's roboting so hard she can't hear, apparently. It's her gears whirring. She just gets fucked up.
I'm practicing to be Silver Man.
Shutting down.
This is gonna kill in France. she gets pushed up against the wall and machete to the gut. And then Reggie wakes up and he's like, I'm gonna go upstairs. And he tries to knock on, see if Tommy's back, and he goes and like, this is when we realize that the title of the movie should have been Friday the 13th Part 5, Jason Frames Tommy.
Yeah, because the door opens and somehow our killer had enough time to grab everybody and be like, that's Tommy's bed. Even though he's never been in this house before.
I didn't do it. I don't care. Tommy's like jumping out of a storm drain. I didn't kill those people.
I didn't do it. How do you explain 5 bodies on your bed? I was framed by an ambulance driver.
Friday 6, The Fugitive. I would watch that movie.
Friday 7, A Few Good Men.
He still thinks Jason is following him around, but it's actually the FBI. Now there's many Jasons.
Damn. So Reggie runs out of the room. He finds
Pam.
And he's like, yo, there's dead bodies in the room. And in a movie, a horror movie first, she's like, I believe you. Let's check.
Right?
Like, and she's like, oh, fuck, there is.
Yes, she immediately goes in, checks, and is just like, scream, and immediately, like, that's what I like about this movie, is that she didn't go, did you do this?
He's like, wow, blame the black kid.
Right? Right? So, like, she immediately runs with him, and then they try to recreate the same thing they did in the last one, where Jason blasts through the door, and while still good effect, it does not come off as impressive as the first time, you know? Especially because he's just not that lumbering. And this is the first time you've seen him as Jason, too.
Yeah.
You know, through Friday 4 and all the, like, you know, half of 3, you'd already seen what Jason looks like. Friday 4, they didn't care. He was throwing bodies out of windows.
Yeah.
You know? This is the first time you're seeing him.
He held his breath for 65 minutes to kill that girl in that raft.
That's true. This is the first time you're seeing him, and you're like, oh, no, he's just Abe Sabian.
Oh, you're a wimp, bitch.
You're lanky. So, yeah, he's running around chasing them. They run towards that. Now it's raining. They run towards the ambulance.
So this is one of the things I wanted to touch on.
What?
A little thing about from Melanie Kinneman. In this scene, she is wearing a white shirt with no bra, and her shirt gets soaked from the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently she has stated that this was her favorite scene in the movie.
Okay.
Because she felt that she did not look good in any other part of the movie until she got that wet t-shirt on. And then she felt super sexy on the set.
She was very pretty.
I know, but it's like, good for you.
Yeah. Right?
She got her groove back.
Right? They were like, go ahead and tie that sweater around your neck. And trying to see your old nips.
They're like, no, the MPAA is going to go nuts. You have to wear a bra. She's like, fuck you, I'm not wearing a bra.
I'm not trying to see of-age nipples.
This is an underage film only.
Right. Teen titties only.
Do you know what that means?
What?
Reggie saw those.
Yeah.
Damn.
You know, he's very professional. He's a professional boy. So
that's what I would look like under this jumpsuit.
They, like, wind up going to the ambulance, and somehow Jason's there before them. He teleported.
He's like,
that's my other teleportation scene.
It's me. I'm in the ambulance.
And then, like, once you see the ambulance driver, but only one ambulance driver, you're like, it's the fucking ambulance driver. Like, why are they even out here?
I want you to just keep saying ambulance over and over again, because you say it so odd and it's so satisfying to
Thanks,
me.
Buddy.
Okay, so here's my question.
Uh-huh.
How many Friday the 13th, are we going to end in a fucking barn?
Hmm.
Because three ends in a barn.
Uh-huh.
This one ends in a barn.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't six have a scene in a barn?
It doesn't end in a barn.
But it has this, I'm talking like there's kills in a barn. So it's an ongoing theme throughout all of these movies that there's a big barn scene. It's like a big climactic scene in a barn.
No, literally only two.
Is it only the two of them?
Yeah, man.
What about Jason Takes Manhattan?
Yeah, that was. I do remember that barn.
Yeah, it was in Times Square.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was a weird choice. Yeah. It was on that boat.
Well, it was for like a pop up for Children of the Corn. I remember that.
Yeah, Children of the Corn 3.
So
Cuban Harvest.
Cuban Harvest. Reggie gets split up. And then Pam's being chased, and she's down for the count. She's on the ground. She's screaming. And then motherfucking Reggie saves the day. Just bursts out the barn.
Oh, with the tractor.
Now, I don't know about you, buddy, but for those of you out there who are unfamiliar with what pig iron is... pig iron is weight. It is what's the metal? Do you know?
It's just like it's iron.
It's iron, but like weight wise, how much each like brick is?
35 pounds.
35 pounds.
They're used in theaters to more often than not to be part of the rail system.
Yeah, the drops and stuff like that. So or the fly system, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Imagine having an entire like flat cart of those, right? And then having that fall off the height of a truck.
We're talking probably close to 350 pounds,
right? Yeah, well, probably way more than that, man.
Okay, how many do you think were on this cart?
They were stacked three high, and like the entire cart.
Okay, we're talking like at least 700. 800 pounds.
Yeah. And imagine the handlebar of that hitting you in the chest as it falls off the truck, and then you have to dodge it, right? Because that's what happened to me. And I can tell you that alone caused me to like have bruising in my chest area and to be able to not breathe for a couple days properly, right? Imagine getting hit with a tractor trailer in the same area.
Yeah. It's crazy because Reggie hits him with this tractor trailer, and the movie just ends, actually. Jason's dead.
You wish.
Yeah, but he's like, fuck you, I'm still strong.
So they, of course, like all other cliches, instead of being like, he's down for the count, let's fucking run over him with the tractor. They run into the barn. He chases them because he comes back to life, of course. And then at this point... he tries to go. Reggie's hiding. They reveal where Reggie is. He's hiding up in the rafters. And Jason goes for this closet. And then automatic chainsaws start by Pam.
Do you know what's so wild about the chainsaw in this?
What?
I, for some reason, have always associated
Jason with chainsaws.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't know why.
There's only one time that he uses an electric power tool of any type, and it's that like kind of weed whacker looking thing in part 7.
Yes.
And he does it to Bernie.
Yeah. Sanders.
Yeah. No. So, yeah.
My father redistribute the kills.
Oh man. So now she's fighting him off, but then like of course the chainsaw runs out of gas like immediately.
And then she just uses that like a blunt object essentially at that point.
And so it's funny, if I was Roy and somebody came at me with a chainsaw, I'd be like, all right, we're done. I'm sorry. It's me. It's Roy. Please don't chop me with a chainsaw. Because she gets him, right?
Yeah.
She gets him on the arm. If somebody got me on the arm, I'd be like, we're done. I'm sorry. I killed a lot of people. Please do not chop me with a fucking chainsaw.
What are you saying? This is like a situation of like when you're roughhousing with your significant other. And
yeah,
you're
man.
Like, they smack you real hard and you're like, hey, fuck you.
Yeah, well, like you said, like everybody's afraid of pain.
No, you're talking Inhumans now.
Yeah. But he just keeps going like it means nothing. And he's not, he's a human being.
He's hopped up on narcotics from that ambulance.
Oh, shit. Oh, he took all the ones off of Tommy's desk.
Yes. So, speaking of which, remember that Tommy's still in this movie?
Yep. He just comes, he's at the front of the barn.
And
like,
he has like a heroic entrance. Wah, and, you're like, wah, wah. And you're like, oh, you're here. That's right.
Yeah, right? So, Tommy tries to like do the whole... basically like channel Jason, like, you know, kind of like we've done in the past movies where it's like, you know, in part two she wore mother's sweater and like
part four he shaves his head,
right? But like, you know, because Tommy doesn't know that this dude's he's like, the fuck is this guy doing?
Yeah.
What's this whole like mom thing?
It's literally like the, like in Infinity War when Scarlet Witch is like, you took everything from me. He's like, I don't even know who you are.
Right? He's like, mother is talking to you. He's like, why is this guy calling himself mother?
He's like, oh shit. Yes, do you want a chocolate bar?
So yeah. Now, Jason just slashes Tommy, and then all of them run upstairs, right? And when Jason gets upstairs, Tommy is down for the count, and he can't find the other two. And then he gets to a point where, like, Pam Oh, that's right. He's going to kill Tommy, and Pam hits him with, like, an oar. Yeah. There's always an oar. And... yeah, she hits him with the oar, and he starts attacking Pam. This is where he's got Pam cornered. Or, like, not even cornered, really. Like, he's got the upper hand. She's just got an oar. He's got a machete. And he could just push her off the edge. And he doesn't. Right? Which gives them enough time for, like, Reggie to help, like, save the day.
Push him off partially.
Right.
Then that's when Tommy comes up. Hacks his hand off.
Well, not, no, he pushes him off. They think he's gone, oh, right? He's still, but he's there. Been hanging on. Yeah. He starts to pull Reggie down, and that's when Tommy gets up and hacks his hand off with a machete.
He falls on a conveniently placed hay puller.
Yeah, man. It's like somebody like literally rolled it while he was like it's what Freddy does in part 6. Like, the first kill, he, like, rolls out a bed of spikes, the guy, like, yeah. Remember?
Yeah. It's so cartoony.
Ah, bitch!
And then he dies. He falls on it, and oh, look, it's Roy. Who fucking cares?
Somehow, Roy's face mask exploded off.
But, like, conveniently placed, like, it honestly looks like he landed and was like, gotta take this off.
What happened? Like, I don't know. I don't...
They're like, if I have the mask on, people will be confused.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what they said, like, basically. Like, but why couldn't they just go down and rip the mask off? Why did the mask need to explode off his face? Because
then this would be a Scooby-Doo episode. It was old man Jenkins. I would have gotten away with it if you wouldn't have killed my son.
Oh, damn. So, yeah. At this point, we're at the hospital. Things are wrapped up, right? Somehow the newspaper got an actual photo of Jason Voorhees because they confiscate Roy's materials, and Roy has a headshot of himself and of Joey in his wallet, so you know who he is.
Yeah.
If you did not recognize him from the rainy like scene, the scene before. And then, yeah, like, somehow Jason Voorhees became Bigfoot.
Because, yeah, I was just going to say, he's, like, walking through the woods, like, meow.
But it was Jason in somebody's house. There was a picture frame.
Yeah.
It was literally a shot from part 4. And I was just like, what? And people have been like, yeah, I saw Jason. He was in my house. I took this picture.
I saw Jason in the woods, and he fucked my wife.
I told him he could do it.
It was hot.
It was kind of hot. I watched.
We're going to have skunk ape babies.
Skunk ape?
That's another word for Bigfoot.
Oh, okay.
He's stinky.
Damn. So, yeah. Pam goes to try to check on Tommy. And then Tommy's laying there in the hospital bed. And just like this movie is like, I'm going to wrap it up the way we started. Machete to the gut.
This is when I would hang dong.
Okay.
When Tommy stands up out of the hospital bed and grabs that mask, his he has his hospital gown on backwards and his dick's hanging out.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! People's mouth are just wide open in the theater.
They're like, that was daring.
Yo, this is a new beginning.
And Sleepaway Camp's like, they stole our fucking shtick.
That is that. Oh, man. So, yeah, it's a fake out. It's a dream. But then now Pam has to re-enter the room, and this time it's not, because there is Tommy. He apparently stole evidence from the scene of a crime.
Puts the mask on
and is behind her as the scene fades to black. One could assume that this is yet again, like, if we want to keep this in the same continuity as the next one, that was yet again another dream. One could also say that he might have also did actually do that and flip out on her, but maybe not kill her, so that he could be released from the mental institution. Oh, no, he breaks out, I think.
He breaks the window.
No, I mean breaks out in part 6.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
to try to stop Jason. Something like that, right? Because that's why the police are like, we gotta lock this kid up.
Yeah.
So, that's Friday the 13th, part 5, A New Beginning.
I'd like to start again.
Would you recommend this?
Yeah, only purely because it's, you know,
part of the series, man. Part of our favorite.
I mean, like, I'm going to jump ahead quite a few Friday the 13ths here and just say the only one I wouldn't recommend is Jason Goes to Hell.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even then, I might, if you're a completist, I would even recommend that.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a shitty way to, like explain his origin.
It is the Nightmare on Elm Street 2 of the Friday the 13ths. Less gay, but
no, man. Friday 6 is Friday 9 or Jason Goes to Hell is Freddy 6, which they try to explain that he had a daughter and he's dream demons and all that shit. And you're just like, get the fuck out of here.
Pizza body.
You know? Yeah. He always had pizza body. But yeah, same with Halloween 6 is the other one that tries to do the cult origin. You know, yeah, with Paul Rudd. So, yeah, as soon as they started doing origins like that late into the game, you're like, I'd already made up my mind as what these characters were.
Yeah.
You know, so I do like that they tried to be creative and think outside the box. I would recommend this just for the pure fun of the enchilada scene.
of Reggie.
Yep. Hell yeah. Motherfucking Reggie. Tommy beating the shit out of Randy Quaid.
That's a good one.
And
all the boobies.
Yeah. But also, I like the robot scene. It's hella dumb. It's dumb, but like, I just like it because it's in that fun realm that is Friday the 13th.
Yep.
You know? So totally recommend it, but what would you rate it?
I'm giving this one a Jaws 3.
Me too.
Yes, because
I'm being honest,
it's largely unimportant. It's a little boring at times.
The effects are not up to par with the last time you saw these characters.
Yeah, there's
and
not
things.
Great gore or anything.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. I would say the same. Jaws 3. So you've heard from us, but there's still a couple people you haven't heard from, folks. So first off, we're going to start with Tyler. What did Carly think?
So, for those of you who are new to the show, Carly is my beautiful wife, and she has the unfortunate pleasure of watching almost every single one of these films that we do on this show with me. She loves Friday the 13th movies.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely loves them.
Good. As you should.
So, you can imagine she was quite disappointed by this one. Because she
had
likes...
she ever seen it
no.
before? Okay.
She's never seen... Every single time we sit down and watch one of these is...
Except... Oh, she just loves as we're going.
Yeah, except for 1, 2, and 3. She had seen those before.
Oh, okay.
But 4 and 5 now are ones that she has not seen up until we did them. So, this was her first time ever seeing it. But she was genuinely annoyed by like a lot of the characters in this. She has seen the candy bar scene though. I've shown her it numerous times.
Yeah. You would.
Yeah. I love it.
Awesome. Okay. So you've heard from us and you've heard from Carly, but there's still a group of people that you haven't heard from before. They're a very important group of people. The internet. This is Give Me Five. These are 5- and 10-star reviews pulled from internet, usually Amazon or IMDb. Usually IMDb, so I don't know why we call it Give Me Five when they're 10 stars. But, you know, it is what it is. Tyler finds these. I have no idea what they're going to say. It's always a surprise for me and usually hell on earth. So here we go, folks. It's Give Me Five. First one written by JP_91, December 18th of 2019, so very recent, titled, A Good Sequel, But Not Amazing. Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, is one of the weakest films in this franchise. More of the same, bored characters, a strange score with a touch of the original music, some good murder scenes, and a nice twist at the end. This part 5 is fine enough, but at the same time is weak. My rating is 10 because it brings me good memories, but as a film production, the perfecto rating should be 6 out of 10. What is this? What is this bullshit?
I like it because it reminds me of the Friday the 13th movies, but it sucks.
Pretty much. Why do you find these ones?
Well, it's just always, there's just a special place in my heart for the people who, for some odd reason, can't talk bad about a movie they liked when they were younger.
I mean, that's not me. So the next one is by PVC_rules. PVC rules, bro.
I'm a pipe fitter.
You have no idea. You can make like plumbing
dummies,
plumbing for poopers, plumbing for sinks.
You got all types of PVC pipe.
PVC signs, PVC. yeah, what?
Stupid.
It's PVC rules, bro. This was written back in 2005, titled Obvious but Gory. Why some people doesn't like this movie? I find it very interesting, especially Tina's death, Debbie Sue Voorhees, and Jake Jerry Pavilion. Okay. He found Jake's death interesting? That's the stuttering guy who got killed off screen.
Yeah.
I know Jason is not the killer, but Roy is cool. Is he?
No, not at all.
I like Violet a lot. She's the one I like most of all Friday the 13th movies. Some things I didn't like from the movie is that there is a lot of nudity. Tina is okay. Lana and Robin, why? he's just saying big boobs is okay. That's what he's saying.
Big old titties.
Another thing, why did he kill Violet? That's not fair.
What?
I mean, she's cool, pretty, and does robot dancing.
That's you. This is written by you.
The movie is obvious, but has a good plot, good actors, death scenes, and more. I just think is one of the best movies of Friday the 13th, and that's all. Nah, nobody found that review helpful.
Is this review helpful?
And the last one, written by A New Beginning. We wrote our own review. This one is the best. Oh, man. This movie is directed by the man, Danny Steinman. This was written by Danny, wasn't it? He really gets his point across in this one. This is a dark Tim Burton-esque type film.
What? What?
Jason is just Beetlejuice.
It's Johnny Depp. He's like, oh.
You want to get campers out of your camp? I want to get campers out of your camp.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. And then he slashes someone.
Damn.
Fuck.
That's good. I wish I knew the New Jersey thing so I could just do, like, deep in the heart of Texas.
And I, Jason, the Lake King. I tried, okay? What if this was Tim Burton-esque in it that it was scored by Danny Elfman?
Jeez.
Boing, boing, boing.
What's this? There's campers everywhere.
He's like, it's like Reggie running away from Jason. It's like, bah, 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 bah.
Damn, Tim Burton-esque. That's that is a bold statement.
A weird statement.
Right? This is a dark Tim Burton-esque type of film, and not for the weak at heart. This movie has a lot of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, which is what we want when we see horror, right? The absence of Jason isn't even apparent to most people who watch this film, but when studied, this movie is a hell of a mystery. Okay, buddy. Without reading any spoilers, try and see if you can figure this one out. The theme song for this one is also great, done very well by Suedo Echo, called His Eyes. Very well done. 10 out of 10 stars, 0 out of 1 people found this review helpful.
I just realized before we wrap this up,
yeah,
we mentioned something and we didn't talk about it. The theory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, as I was going to say earlier in the episode, now that we've wrapped this up,
good call.
Good time. I saw a review. I thought I had picked it, but I guess not because it probably wasn't that good. But they mentioned that they actually think, if you look at the way that the owner of this house looks, the person who runs this home these kids.
Forgot to mention, old black man was thrown through the window with his eyes gouged out.
Oh, shit.
And she did find Michael with his throat slashed.
Yes, Michael.
Yeah. They were off-screen kills.
If you look at the way he looks, and if you watch the beginning of the movie, there is a million reasons to think that the original intent was to have him be the killer.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. Especially because, like, I think the motivation, and this is what I was talking about, like, motivation-wise, is that, like, what if, like, Tommy just showed up to the camp, right? Now he knows Tommy's backstory, right? Then the camp just gets word that it's getting shut down. Right. And this guy just can't cope with the camp that he built getting shut down. And is like, you know what? If it's going out, they're all going to die. And I'm going to blame, you know, the Voorhees mystery.
We built this city.
built this Pinehurst.
It's you guys, the camp's being closed down and we got to do everything in our power to save it.
We built this city on rock and roll. Is it meatballs?
Yeah. Oh, shit. I agree with your theory.
I mean, I think it's a better story.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
Than this rando, like, I'm getting revenge for the son I didn't give a fuck about until this very moment.
I'm getting revenge because of how excited I am that someone did it and I didn't get to.
Right. Also, like, I don't know, assuming the identity of Jason Voorhees, like, he wasn't a real mass murderer is really fucking dumb, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was a real person. It's not until the next one that we actually bring somebody back to life like fucking Frankenstein that everything's out the window.
That's the best
this
one.
Point in time, right, everything's still in reality.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, other than the fact that, like, somebody drowned in Camp Crystal Lake and then actually was living in the woods for 20 years. But, you know what? You can suspend a little believability.
I could see that happening.
You know? It's not until, like, Jason walks across the screen like James Bond that you're like, well, all bets are off.
That's when it gets good.
Hell yeah. So, yep. That just about does it for us. Go do your thing. Do your spiel, sir. You're way better at this.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening so much. As Jonathan says, that about does it for us here at Bombs Away. If you like the show, like, comment, subscribe, leave a review for us on iTunes, on Spotify, anywhere you can leave a review for the show. Find us at all of our social medias at Bombs Away Show. You can find us through our link tree, linktr.ee/bombsawayshow. That's where you can find t-shirts, and all of our social medias are also linked there in one nice convenient stop. We also have bombsawayshow.com. If you go to that, it's going to take you to our stream of episodes, but we are working on a website right now. Obviously, with what we talked about in the Shorties episode, being in a new studio space, we are slowly getting back on our feet, essentially, to reach the goals that we want to reach this year. But everything is going well. Things are looking up. Things are looking bright. So we're very excited to continue on this adventure on this show with you guys. Again, find us everywhere at Bombs Away Show. Shoot us a message. Let us know how you're doing, how you're liking the show, anything we can do for you, if we can improve or anything like that. We'd really appreciate it. So for all of us here at Bombs Away, I'm Tyler.
I'm Jonathan. And hey, it's me, Dynacat.
Give me a tuna melt.
This has been a production of Big Bulb Entertainment, executive produced by Jonathan Young. For more media and information, visit us at www.bigbulbentertainment.com. Big Bulb, what's your bright idea?